Hello, and welcome to the Independent Pharmacy Alliance podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Resnick. This episode is brought to you in part by Independent Pharmacy Alliance. IPA is a trade association and buying group representing 3,700 plus independent pharmacies, leveraging buying power to help pharmacies access pharmaceuticals at the best prices. IPA now offers a comprehensive third-party help desk, legislative advocacy, and continuing education. Guess what? It's free of charge to members. Learn more today at ipagroup.org.
So, Anthony, if you don't mind, I'd like to take control from here because I have a couple questions for you.
All right, Zach, sounds great.
So, we've been talking offline. You just came back from the National Community Pharmacists Association Government Affairs Conference in D.C., and you have some news to report on the PBM package.
I do. So some very exciting news about the PBM package. Earlier this year, there was, I guess, a lot of anxiety out there in the independent pharmacy world because it sounded like the PBM package that was moving through Congress was dead for the rest of the year. At least that was what was going on social media, like on Facebook and X and other places. People were saying that it's dead. But the truth of the matter is that it's very much alive. I went to the acronym for what you said is NCPA. So I went to the NCPA conference. It's the 10th year that I've attended the conference. And I have to say, this is one of the best years ever. And the truth of the matter is the PBM package has wide support in Washington, D.C. from both sides of the aisle. So it's amazing. You can't almost find anything that Democrats or Republicans agree upon anymore, except the pharmacy benefit manager reform issue. And the package has wide support. It really just got sidelined, and we could get a little bit more into the weeds if you want, Zach. It got sidelined because of some procedural nonsense. That's really all it was.
Okay. Because I was wondering, if it has support from both sides, why did it appear dead? And
right,
just procedure, just like someone, what, an objection, a footnote?
So I do a lot of government affairs work on the state level, a little bit on the federal level, mostly on state. And this does happen on the state level with state legislation, too. Sometimes things, multiple issues are wrapped together inside a package. A number of bills are just roped together. And PBM reform earlier this year was wrapped together with all sorts of other stuff. And DC is having its share of problems in Congress. Everybody sees it on the news. And there was a lot of negotiation in the budget, in the federal budget, about what was going to stay, what was going to go. And what happened was, unfortunately, the PBM reform package was roped in with a lot of other stuff that was just thrown out. So it's kind of like that phrase that we always hear, throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Sure.
And it's not because anybody opposed, other than the PBMs, it wasn't that anybody actually opposed the PBM reform package. It was just stuck with a whole host of other things, and it all got tossed out.
So why did it get lumped up together, though?
Well, when they do these particular packages on the federal side and sometimes on the state side, in order to get certain things passed, everybody wants something in that package, right? So in order to get their wish list passed, let's say you need a new bridge built in your city, but I have a lot of independent pharmacies in my community, right? Well, my issue to me is more important than your issues to yours, but in order for me to get what I want, I have to vote for your bridge. That's kind of what it is. That's kind of what it is. And sometimes it just doesn't work out. Because sometimes there's stuff in there that just can't work out, and then everything just gets thrown out, you know, and that's kind of what happened in this situation.
So now it's alive. How did it come back if it was lumped with all that stuff? Is it still lumped with all that stuff or?
No. So right now we actually met with the entire New Jersey delegation. So I go down there and we go together with a bunch of other pharmacy groups. And we're kind of like the New Jersey Pharmacy Coalition. That's what we call ourselves. The New Jersey Pharmacy Coalition. It's kind of like a super team, like the Avengers.
Sure.
And so Yeah, just like that. And we all go down there together and we meet with all the congressional folks, people in the House of Representatives, and also the two U.S. Senate representatives. Sometimes it's with the actual reps, sometimes it's with staff. But what I'm happy to report to everyone is that every single legislative staffer and legislator that we met with, they all support PBM reform. They all recognize that PBMs are a problem and that they are a key in driving up drug prices in the United States, that PBMs are the central reason why independent pharmacies around the country are struggling. They're a central reason why patients are having access issues to getting prescription drugs because there are pharmacies that are closing, creating pharmacy deserts. There is no dispute. That's the amazing thing about it. There is no dispute in DC about what is going on. And they're all in favor of it. The key is how. How are they going to get this PBM package through? There's a few ideas that they're working on now. One, do it separately, just as its own package. Or two, put it in together with another package that's going to move later this year that there might not be as much, I guess, difficulty in moving. So that's something that they're wrangling with now. The Pharmacy Coalition from New Jersey, we were pushing definitely the single package. Just vote on it on its own. What are the chances for that happening? I don't know. But from everything that the staffers told us, the legislators that we met with told us in DC, there's a very good chance it's happening this year.
I know you're talking to the New Jersey people, but you know, in the Senate, you need 51 votes or 61 votes, depending on the bill. And there's only, last time I checked, two senators that come out of New Jersey. So like,
right.
Do we have other people in this coalition? I mean, Jersey's nice. That's only 2% right there. We're gonna need some more support than that.
Oh, absolutely, Zach. And I actually have an answer for you. So the NCPA conference, all 50 states are represented there.
Okay.
So there's a coalition from each state that's representing their state, and they go meet with their state reps, just like the New Jersey coalition did. Mm-hmm. And everybody's pretty much reporting the exact same thing. So that's how we know there's universal support.
So typically New Jersey, a pretty blue state. We're talking blue state New Jersey to, like, let's say red state Tennessee.
Yeah.
Universal?
Universal. Because what they're seeing is a couple different things. It's kind of interesting the way some issues can bring people together, right? Mm-hmm. So drug prices are a problem for patients no matter where you live, whether it's a red state or a blue state. Healthcare is universal. Everyone needs healthcare. And whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, you may look at it maybe a little differently on how to get there, but everybody agrees that it needs to be affordable. And there's a problem because too many constituents are contacting their federal reps telling them, hey, I have health insurance, I'm working, and I can't afford my prescription drugs, or I don't have access to a pharmacy and I can't get them. So they're getting the same message out there. And the key component that they're hearing a lot of time is that the pharmacy benefit manager, which plays a central role in you obtaining that medication and deciding how much that medication is going to cost you and where you're going to get that medication, has become a barrier between the patient and the patient obtaining their medicine at the pharmacy. So both red and blue states seem to be in agreement. I saw this one legislative conference where you had Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and I can't remember exactly, but it was very, very conservative Republican, both in agreement and tag teaming together on questioning the PBM representatives, because they were in total agreement that the PBMs were causing access issues and also increasing the price on the patient when they pick up their prescription at the pharmacy counter. They're approaching it maybe from a few different kind of policy issues, different spectrums of the policy spectrum. So on the Republican end, they're seeing PBMs as a free market problem. Here you have a concentration of three huge big companies, multi-billion dollar companies, that are preventing the free market from actually dictating what the prices are. Instead, you have this near monopoly of companies that are dictating pricing, which is causing the pricing issue. And on the Democratic side of the spectrum, they're also kind of looking at it in a way where you have these huge companies who are also dictating these prices, right? And are preventing patients from getting their medications because of cost issues. So there's kind of like this kumbaya moment between both Democrats and Republicans on the Hill.
Okay, so it's great that there's this moment of kumbaya on the Hill, but remind me, because, you know, while obviously this is important, I don't exactly remember what was in the bill. So tell me, if this were a single issue, if we were voting on this one package, if we were to put this all in one package, what specifically is in that package?
I'm going to boil it down to its most simplest terms, right? Because there's a lot of PBM stuff and the drug supply chain can be complicated. In its simplest terms, there are two things in this package that will help everyone. One, it'll maintain pharmacy access for patients. So that if you want to go to the pharmacy of your choice and get your prescription drug from the pharmacy of your choice, it'll maintain that access. But how is it going to maintain that access? By keeping these pharmacies in business, by paying them an equitable reimbursement rate, where the pharmacies are going to be paid, at the very least, enough to keep their doors open so that patients can have keep access to a healthy network of pharmacy providers. That's the simplest way that I can explain it. So less money for going to PBMs so they can line their own pockets, keeping independent pharmacies and pharmacies as a whole healthy so they can stay open and maintain access for patients.
Okay, well, that sounds pretty nice. Tell me, how can pharmacy owners get involved to help get this package out of Congress and onto the president's desk?
It is so simple, Zach. Just devote 5 minutes out of your day. There's going to be a link that we're going to attach to this podcast. And all you have to do is click on that link, and it's going to generate a letter, a form letter, that will go directly to your U.S. senator and your two congressional representatives that represent you. You will be able to send that out in a matter of minutes, just minutes. It will go out. It will go out specifically to the House representatives in your district, and it will go to your two U.S. senators. It's a quick and easy thing to do, and it'll only take you 5 minutes to do. And we're going to have that link. We're also going to provide a link. If you want to take a little bit more time, take 10 minutes. Send the email, but also give your reps a call. We're going to have those phone numbers listed. There's nothing better than calling your federal representatives. And I know, because I used to be a staffer in the legislative office. And when staffers hear from a constituent, they note it down. Then they go and report it to the rep that they're working for, the federal or state rep that they're working for. And like I say, develop a relationship with that staffer. Don't just call once, call a few times. Give it about 2 weeks, call again and say, hey, this is Anthony. I called a few weeks ago. I don't know if you remember me. I'm just following up on it. You know, I had a question, you know, is my federal rep going to support it? You will be shocked to learn that, you know, if they hear from you at least two times, they're going to start to remember you and you're going to start getting responses.
So is there a timeline on this thing? Obviously, we have an election this year, so November is going to be a busy time of year. I mean, in all honesty, in reality, when do they stop politicking and when do they start campaigning? I mean, so obviously the campaign's already started, but like...
Sure. The campaign's already started, like you said, Zach, and it was a really good point you brought up. In the business, in the government affairs business, we like to call this silly season. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's called silly season is because when you have a big campaign like And nothing's bigger than the presidential campaign, right? When you have something like this, things just get silly. People just start doing crazy stuff, and it's hard to get anything done. But believe it or not, even though you might not hear about it on the news, things still do get done. Things get passed in Congress, in the legislature, even in silly season. It happens. And from everything that we were told by the representatives that we met with in D.C., it can happen this year. It can happen by the end of the year. That's why it's so important. This gets to the heart of your question, Zach. Anybody interested in this issue needs to call and email early and often to keep the issue alive during silly season. Because if people stop advocating for it, the age we live in now, it's all about what am I seeing today? What is going on today? Because everybody's moving on to the next.
Right.
That's why it's so important to keep calling and emailing, because you want to keep this issue right in front of them as long as possible. The amazing thing that we saw, Zach, all the staffers and all the legislators we met with in DC were completely in tune with this issue. And why? Because the pharmacists and pharmacy owners are doing a hell of a job contacting them. The one thing that these staffers told us was like, we're hearing more from the pharmacy owners than almost any other group about these PBM issues. We're hearing more from patients on this issue. So the job that the pharmacists and the pharmacy owners are doing are amazing in terms of keeping this issue alive. And we got to keep doing it through the end of the year. Keep the issue on their desk. Keep it alive. And it will resonate even through silly season. So it can be done. And I've seen it done both on the state and federal level. So it's possible. If pharmacists and pharmacy owners and patients slow down, yeah, it'll get lost in silly season. But I'm telling you, when I went down there, what I'm seeing, there is the passion, there is the will to get it done. But we're the ones, the people who are advocating for it, we're the ones that have to keep it alive.
Speaking of advocating, you've been going down to this DC conference for 10 years, advocating for independent pharmacy and lower drug prices. What do you think has changed over the past decade?
I tell you, when I started going 10 years ago, when I first started lobbying for independent pharmacy, you would go down there, you would talk about PBMs and their impact on drug prices, and all you got was blank stares. That's it. I have no idea what a pharmacy benefit manager was, what their role was in the drug supply chain. There was just a bunch of blank stares, because when you mention drug pricing and PBMs, all anybody really knows, well, isn't the manufacturer the one that sets the price? I wish it was just that easy, but it's not. The drug supply chain is really complex, and PBMs play a huge role in what you pay at the pharmacy counter. They're not the only ones, but they play a giant role. But every year that we went down there over the course of those 10 years, saw a massive shift. The shift in terms of the understanding that the U.S. senators and U.S. House representatives, the staffers' understanding, and the reps' understandings about the role that PBM plays, it's night and day, Zach. I've never seen anything quite like it. We actually saw something like it here in the state of New Jersey as well, where back in the day, we got the same blank stares. Today, everybody knows what you're talking about. And that's the amazing thing about our process for passing legislation. This is why I love it so much, is because, yeah, it takes a long time. It's frustrating, but it's designed to be that way. It's designed on purpose to be that way because it's just the way our system of government vets issues. It takes a long time to vet issues. And it was designed that way because it was purposely made hard. It was made hard so that really big and bad things couldn't happen overnight. Sometimes it's frustrating and you really wish things could happen faster, but on its face, you kind of realize the genius of the system in a way. It really forces issues to be vetted. Sometimes some issues take longer than others, And this issue, as much as, you know, those of us who are in the business, pharmacists, pharmacy owners, and lobbyists like myself who understand it, the reps and their staffers, this is not something everybody understood. So it took a long time for this to really seep into their consciousness. But it's there now.
So you were talking about how this is silly season. Obviously, this is a big issue for independent pharmacists, but since lowering drug prices can also help the consumer and the voter over 65 years old when it comes to Medicare, I'm wondering, is this the perfect time? Because this is such a popular issue to strike right now. If people are going to the ballot boxes and making their voices heard on which politicians they want in and which politicians they want out, because this is so popular, is this the time to push extra hard? Because they're thinking about keeping their jobs, and we're just thinking about how can we make life more affordable? One step, lowering drug prices, right?
Right. Zach, this is the best time to do it, because when legislators are up for re-election, they become more in tune with what their constituents want. And they want to show their constituents, especially during election season, that they are there working on the constituents' behalf. So that, like you said, Zach, there is no better time to advocate for an issue than when we're approaching an election season, when the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate is up for re-election, when the president is up for re-election. There's really no better time than to try and advocate for some of these issues. So yes, this is the time you got to strike while the iron's hot. And sometimes in this business, you can feel and see when the iron's getting hot. And it's not getting any hotter than it is now. All the legislators are in tune. They all see it. There's no more smoke. Where there's smoke, there's fire. All the legislators now see the fire, right? You know, We don't even have to prove to them there's a problem anymore. They know there's a problem. So this is the time to do it.
So all you have to do is log on to your website. There's a link going out, correct?
We're going to have a link attached to this podcast.
A link attached to this podcast. Click the link. It automatically goes to your two senators.
It will automatically generate a letter. It'll take you 2-5 minutes, automatically generate a letter with your name and your address and everything else. And it's going to send it to your U.S. senators and your U.S. House of Representatives in Congress.
Outstanding. So there's that. And then the second thing that we have, if you have 10 minutes on this very, very important issue, is you will have the phone numbers to the representatives that you can call. A voice is more impactful than a letter. A letter is good. The phone call is great.
Yes, absolutely right, Zach. Form letters are great when they show up in mass, when there's a ton of form letters that show up. Then the legislators and the staffers say, you know what? There's something going on here. We got to pay attention to it. The second is when they start getting a bunch of calls from constituents, because one of the things when I was a staffer that was key was that if I'm getting a lot of calls from people who live in my district and they're really concerned about something, that means my boss needs to be concerned about it too. That's how it works.
Especially in an election year. Fantastic work, Anthony, and thanks for bringing the news to us today.
Thanks, Zach. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening to the Independent Pharmacy Alliance podcast. This podcast was made possible by the Independent Pharmacy Alliance and the president and CEO, John Giampolo. It was produced and edited by Zach Stone with music by Marcus Way. For previous and future episodes, check out ipagroup.org. Thank you very much. Bye for now.